helps.
Scott has.
Kevin Lindsay, good to see you.
Hey, George Schwartz.
Was that the,
I was going to say, you were at the.
At the last meeting of the year.
October 2020.
September, I had that printout.
Oh, September. So was it the site plan?
I don't think it was.
Robinson.
They were on the George Schwartz.
How are you doing?
You too.
Oh, when Eric, okay, oh, great, oh, good, that's great.
Yes.
I was looking for out of town for that one.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Get started just a minute, we're waiting on Matt Carlucci, and I think, is Shannon coming?
I don't know.
Okay.
Matt wasn't sounding good on the radio.
No, he wasn't, I listened myself. Since then, we've had our general counsel's office come out with a statement that it is, that we are not carved out, that it is absolutely, that legislation is going to impact us.
JEA?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, the general counsel said we are not?
Wyman Duggan tried to say that we were not included in that because we're a chartered municipality, and our general counsel's office has said, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as it's written, it almost looks like it's directed, you know, to JEA, so.
Yes.
It's all big.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting so jaded.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, why would anybody try to sneak something like that through?
You know those Rogers Towers guys, you gotta watch out for them. Trying to steal our public utility, marking in the FPNL.
Well, I think that's a cause. None of that received me.
Is that a good one?
So that is, yes, that's what I see.
Thank you for reminding me about that. I'm going to put you down here.
Yeah, I would put it down.
He sounds horrible.
I said, I'm going to get one of those dividers and put it up.
There you go.
He sent us so bad, I felt really sorry for him.
That's right.
Anything else going on while we're waiting?
Wow.
I should be aware
lot,
of
right?
Nothing.
Everything's swirling around us.
Elections.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
What else is happening in our city? I was speaking to somebody fairly high up in FIS who told me that the activist shareholders got involved with FIS and it's being broken up and that the building is probably going to be sold.
Oh my goodness.
I have not heard that.
So my question is, I think the city gave them a big chunk of money to bring X number of employees. What happens to those agreements?
Call back.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like 2,000.
And they were supposed to have, like, in holds many.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
That's a...
It is a beautiful building.
It really is a beautiful building.
Yeah, the story was that activist shareholders got involved, and they said that the companies were more broken up than it is as one together. So they will, you know, they're going to sell off, spin off pieces.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, because Gary Norcross, you know, retired, which wasn't unexpected, but what was unexpected was he was supposed to be sitting on the board. That didn't happen. So I thought it was all shareholder driven.
It's a pretty building, but boy, their timing on that was so bad.
Yeah.
Eric was involved in like engineering, and what did they break ground just before COVID?
I think so.
Like
something like that.
A few months before COVID, they broke ground.
They built it in record time too. I mean, it was a really nice job.
That would be too bad for Jacksonville if that happens.
You talked about that too.
It's a loss of importance. It means they're going to not be a Fortune 500. I mean, if you break it out, it would no longer be a Fortune 500 company.
You know what I'm looking forward to doing is coming over the full as like the cool colored lights. As the all buildings now with the LED.
They just have
While we have you, Randy, other things I'm just recalling. So there was that project that was going to happen out at Roselle and Stockton. Mm. It was Miller Electric.
Yeah.
That ended up selling, right?
Yeah.
Still did go through?
Yes.
And what happened with the zoning on that?
It was approved. Yeah. I don't think the use hasn't changed. So I'm not sure that you'll see any real impact there.
There we go. Can you all hear me now? Let's go ahead and get this meeting started. And I just want to welcome all of you here today and thank my colleague, Matt Carlucci, for getting us all in the same room. And what I'd like to do, first of all, is let's do introductions. I'm Randy DeFore. I am council representative for what's currently District 14. go this way. How about that?
Okay, I'm Matt Carlucci, at large, Group 4.
Yes, Steve Long, Public Works, Director of Public Works.
Robin Smith, Chief of Engineering, Public Works.
Scott Ennis, I'm here on behalf of RAP.
Andrew Malo, also here on behalf of RAP.
Kellen Lindsay, also here on behalf of RAP.
Great. Trish Miley, resident of Riverside Neighborhood at the Villa Rica Condo.
Lori Joyce, resident of Riverside Neighborhood.
Jim Schwartz, and I'm on the board of the Villa Rica Condominium and Master Association.
Joe Porter, former Rehoboam resident.
Eric Olson, committee chair for Resiliency and Flooding Committee, Villa Rica.
Herb Weinstein, I'm on the committee in Villa Rica.
Thank you all for joining us here today. In front of you, you should have, or is that correct? A timeline, if you will, of what's happened so far for Stockton Street.
So sorry, just you have the timeline.
All right. Well, then, shoot, we should have given a timeline. So let me, if you would just indulge me, let me just kind of give you a highlight of what I have, and we can talk about whether that's what you agree, you know, what you your memory has. So in 2019, the neighbors reached out to myself to document flooding, and at that point, the flooding was coming up on the street on Riverside Avenue on sunny days. So it appeared it was coming from the river. So if there was a king tide, for instance, it was coming through the system and up on the street. I mean, it would be flooded. Literally no rain, sunshine. So at that point, we requested a drainage analysis of the system. Then in 2020 through 2021, John Pappas was the head of Public Works at that time and recommended that we do a tidal flex valve. And that valve was placed and ordered in place, and the company, it was back order at the time, and was finally installed on Stockton Street in spring of 2021. Okay? Then October of 2021, I and Representative Wyman Duggan, along with Chief Steve Long, met with Greg Kaufman, FDOT, Ed Seifert, when management of the Villa Riva and neighbors on the site. We were briefed as to the flooding that was occurring at that time. Then in September of 2022, I met along with Director John Pappas with Greg Kaufman and two of you. I don't think you were there, Joe. Yeah. And it was at that time that Director Pappas was able to advance a drainage study for $250,000 in the proposed capital improvement project. Then in October of 2022, we met to vote on the budget. Unfortunately, it was 5 years out. It was not, couldn't get it moved. It was not within the next 4 years. So with that, you can see, I don't know if they have this one.
The agenda, yes, and the CIP.
All right, as you can see, it's 5 years out. And so what needs to happen is it needs to be moved up, Councilman Carlucci, and so they can start the study. Now, let me share with you, before Mr. Pappas left, he said, Randy, there are a couple of things that you need to be mindful of. Number one, this isn't just $1 million project, a $2 million project. This would be a multi, two-digit million-dollar project. And you're going to have to find land in order to put a pump station on, which, as you know, there is, I mean, that is going to be difficult in that area. I just tell you that. This is not, there's no quick fix here. This is a I think a very complicated fix, which needs to happen, but it's a difficult one at that. So with that, Councilman Carlucci, did you want to?
I know that I knew that Rand, council member DeFore, my friend, and she has been a great friend, and been a great councilman for your area. And I hope y'all have a big party for her.
they gave me a nice award.
Well, they should have. y'all, everybody represents great organizations that are here. We have the best public works people in the state, country, right here. What got me thinking about this, besides Randy talking to me, and she was saying, "Dadgum, I can't move this thing up any closer than 5 years." And I won't go into the politics of that, but sometimes when you do things that you think are right, and some others don't think are so right, or perhaps it hurts their feelings, then you have a difficult time maneuvering things up higher on the capital improvement plan, the CIP. Maybe we can get that done this year. But I got a call from Wayne Weaver, and when the San Marco pump station went in, then Wayne called me up, and I'm not dropping names. It's not like we're close friends, but we're pretty close friends with Ian Dolores over the years. He said, "Well, why can't we have a pump station?" Because he saw the one going in the paper. He saw the one going in on LaSalle Street in San Marco. And I had a hard time telling Mr. Weaver that he was going to have to wait. So I said, "I know the council member DeFore has been working on this." And I told him that I would talk with council member DeFore just to kind of go over this. I had tube installed in my four-year term back 23 years ago, one at Landon Avenue, and the pump. You got to have a place to put a big box under the ground, right?
Yes, sir.
Went in Landon Park, and then the big pumps and all went next to a condo that a gentleman had just spent a ton of money improving, but we got it done. And then the next one we got done was by Children's Way, and that was much easier because Nemours was over there. And they said, "We got lots of property. Use whatever you want to." And so that one sped along. And back in those days, those were the Delaney days, the Delaney years. You know, the money was, we were flush with money. So I was able to get it done. The environment and the political environment today is different than what it was back in those days. That's not meant to be a criticism. It's just the way it was back then. And you know what? When you got a lot of money in the budget, everybody's a lot happier when you got a lot of money. If there's not much money in there, or you've just got the economy's just pumped some money into your budget, then suddenly you can start to make things happen. And so. We've had kind of a combination of the gas tax, which frees up some general fund money to do these kind of projects with. And Riverside has the exact same problem, maybe worse at times, maybe better at times, as San Marco. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, because I'm an insurance agent, I write some insurance along St. John's Avenue. And I've been over there many a time when it was when it would flood, but the water wasn't over the bulkhead. So as long as the water's not above the bulkhead, those pump stations can work, you know, because they just pump the water back in. But if it gets over the bulkhead, then it's just that type of thing. And so I thought, you know, I would do anything I could to help Councilmember DeFore with this. And I don't want to tread into your territory. I want to support you. Now, so you may have to find room in a park. You might have to buy a piece of property like San Marco. We paid $900,000 for a duplex, people screaming about it. Some people were. And I said, well, here's the deal. It's a lost leader, because when you have flooding going on, and I'm sure that y'all know in Riverside much better than I do, It causes infrastructure issues with your roads cracking, erosion of the some of the drains. The drains are probably old, and at this point they might need to be made bigger, like what they're going to do in San Marco. While we're at it, let's put in bigger drains. And so it does get to be very expensive, but the cost savings of investing that money over the years, the cost savings really takes care of itself in a big way, because there's less damage cost. So what we need help with is getting this project, the study. I mean, if we're 5 years out from the study, good Lord, and we got $250,000, we should be able to grab $250,000. I mean, so if what Randy and I would not want to do is take this money and move it up and replace somebody else's project, you know, because that would not be fair. But is there any reason, Phil, that this money couldn't be moved up into next year or the year after for the study?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
how do we do that?
Through council action, to run a piece of legislation, moving it up out of the 5 year into whatever applicable year. If you want to do it now, you could do that. You could also incorporate it into the budget, moving it up.
Carla, you are our great lawyer. Would you prepare legislation that will move this up to the closest year possible that is in concurrence with what Councilmember DeFore would like to do? And Steve also wanted, you know, I think it'd be good for Steve to chime in on moving it up like that.
Yeah,
too. That'll be quiet.
It was represented that was going to be, you know, it was a shocker when I saw in the budget, because at our meeting we were told something different. I think it's the right thing to do. And I will say this, just to remind everybody, and I don't know that, Matt, you know this, but Stockton is a hill. I mean, it literally is a hill. People don't realize. I mean, you can.
I understand there's some.
So it's
internal problems.
Right.
With that.
It's a little more, I think it's a little more difficult.
But is Stockton the only place that, I mean, how?
No, so Copeland and all these other, I think it would help that whole area.
Right, Osceola, Copeland.
Yeah, also, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that, in any event, I think it could help a lot. But I do want to hear from Steve, because, you know, people don't understand why some neighborhoods are getting help and others aren't. And now I will tell you this, the one in San Marco was done by Lori Boyer, so that should put dates. You know, so that's how, you know, government just does not move quickly, unfortunately. You know, all of us in business, we see a problem, we fix a problem. Government sees a problem, talks about the problem for 5 years.
Took a long time.
Yeah, no, it did. So I just want to make sure.
That's why I say if the study's 5 years
out,
find out loud.
Yeah, no, we need to get the study done.
You and I'll be
gone. The study needs to be done right away.
I'll be down the street visiting Oakland Cemetery. By the time it gets done.
I am not. So anyway, Steve, if you can share.
Sure. Again, Steve Long, Public Works. Basically, you know, when we are talking about San Marco and we're talking about Riverside, a lot of similarities, some differences. One of the big differences is a lot of the protection from the actual pump stations in San Marco apply to the residential roadways near the river, but they also apply to San Marco Boulevard. San Marco Boulevard is a City of Jacksonville owned roadway. It's heavily commercial throughout the corridor. When you come over into Riverside, if the solution was a pump station, it would provide protection for roadways near the river, but then it would also provide protection for Riverside Avenue, which is a state road. So there's a little bit of difference there, because at our meeting that we had previously, Jim Knight was there from DOT, and there'd be, you know, need to be coordination and discussion with them about, you know, if we were to do this, would there be some sort of participation with DOT? One of the things you have in the Riverside area is each one of the roadways, there's no interconnecting piping. So the system that comes down Stockton is completely independent and not connected to the system that comes down Osceola. The system on Osceola doesn't connect to Copeland, to Goodwin, or I'm sorry, Godwin. None of those are connected. King Street, they're all basically a lateral line that run from way back in Riverside all the way down to the river. Another thing
when they cross river, when they cross like Park and Riverside, do they connect there? Or?
No.
So it's straight down Stockton, no.
Right.
And then Riverside is a separate, Riverside Avenue is a completely separate line?
Riverside Avenue doesn't have a drainage system. That's part of the reason why it has such terrible challenges.
That would explain a few things.
They have one little trench drain that they put in 2 or 3 years ago between Stockton and Osceola. It's a little tiny trench drain that if one pizza box falls out of a garbage can, it sits on top of it, and then there's no drainage for the area at all.
That's the curb inlet between Osceola and Stockton Street. That's the drain you're talking about?
Right, the little slot that's in the
curb. There's actually two curb inlets, one on the north side, one on the south side.
At the intersection there are, but I'm talking about between
I'm talking about between two, at the midpoint, essentially, between Osceola and Stockton.
Right, they've got those trench drains out there. But what ends up happening is where those are all separate, if you're looking to do something such as a pump station, you're looking, if a pump station is the solution, and I say if because one of the things that's interesting about this is the city has a resiliency officer that's currently doing a resiliency plan for the city of Jacksonville. So we don't want to go in with something that puts the cart before the horse. When that plan is being done, if the solution from that plan was to say something that the answer was not a pump station. So that may be part of the reason why the funding was in and out years to make sure that a resiliency plan was done first. But what would end up happening is if a pump station was the needed solution, you would want it to be a pump station that was regional in nature. So you'd want to take as much of the surrounding area into it as you possibly could. Without the system, while making the system be able to handle what area is taken into it. So any sort of system, when you look in it, the drainage area, if you look at the 4 or 5 roads, basically from King to, what's the furthest east, from King to Copeland is about, rough numbers, just doing a quick map measurement, about 280 acres. So that's a lot of stormwater runoff in a highly urban area with basically zero stormwater ponds, zero stormwater retention, anything of that nature. When you go into San Marco, the pump station we're building now, we're building the pump station to treat what's currently going there, and the volume that's currently going, I'm sorry, not the volume, the area that's currently going there is a much smaller acreage and the scale of less than 100 acres. As we build the pump station, there's potential to expand the area that's going there, but it will not ever approach that size. If we were to max it out, it's like 120 acres or something along those lines. So you can see it's just a much different size-wise. Yes, sir?
Steve, one thing you said is essentially that while it's a state road, Riverside Avenue, you're saying the city's not responsible for the drainage on Riverside Avenue because FDOT told us the exact opposite, that it was the city's responsibility to handle the drainage on Riverside Avenue. So who's correct?
We both are. They maintain their road. They maintain their drainage. There's a drainage system that runs from north to south on the 4 city streets that we maintain. So if water falls on Riverside and drains into our system, we drain it. But they're responsible for providing a system on Riverside Avenue. On Riverside Avenue, there isn't a system. The only inlets are at the intersections. And in between them, it isn't a system that's set up to where there's fall, positive slope, that sort of thing. When you look at Riverside Avenue, it's extremely flat. It may be profiled where water does eventually drain to those streets. Once it gets into those streets, those systems are City of Jacksonville drainage systems on all 4 of those major, on all 4 of those roads we're talking about. So it's DOT's responsibility to drain their water, but once it gets into our system, we accommodate it and we drain it.
How does it get into your system?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. Now that we have the Chief Resiliency Officer here, is it unreasonable to move this study up closer in to like for next year? Couldn't that study be done in coordination with the CRO, Chief Resiliency Officer, and their office? You know, I don't want to put, I don't want to force anything. But at the same token, these things could take a good while. LaSalle Street took a long time. The two that I had, we happened to find the space, and it sped them along and got them done. But LaSalle was tough. So some of y'all's issues may be like LaSalle because you're so infilled in Riverside and Avondale. So, but we don't want to do anything that upsets your apple cart. But I think that starting a study as soon as we can would give a lot of relief to the good people of these neighborhoods. And so,
yes, sir. And in any study we did, we would be coordinating with the resiliency office. You know, that's just one of those things. All the projects we do now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I got late in 15 or 10 minutes or so. If we were to introduce legislation to move that up to the year that Councilmember DeFore wants it, then we just, you know, what we don't want to do is have objections from Public Works as we're trying to move this thing through committee, because that would kill it. And we're going to need help from the administration as well. And so we'll work on that.
Can I ask a question of Steve? Steve, if all these roads and their drainage are basically all aligned with the major thoroughfares north to south, wouldn't that tend to argue for a small pump application rather than mega pump application?
There's benefits to both. Small pumps are great, but then you start talking about needing four locations for small pumps. One location, you need potentially one, maybe two pieces of property, so you're consolidating. You get more bang for your buck that way, potentially from land acquisition cost and that sort of thing. So there's arguments to be made both ways, and that's the type of thing during any type of study would be looked at. And
the purpose of the study.
Right, and that's what would be looked at, is determine, you know, if you're talking about small little stations, if you're talking about the larger type station like we have going for LaSalle or Children's Way, that type of thing.
You and I are both on one committee for the resiliency study, which appears to be forthcoming pretty quickly.
Yes, sir.
Pursuant to the councilman's question here, you know, we're not committing funds to build it, we're only committing funds to study it, which would not appear to be in conflict with the resiliency study, which in itself is very, very conceptual. It doesn't get down to nitty-gritty solutions. So it wouldn't appear that there's any implications of conflict with that.
No, and I don't think there would be a conflict. I mean, we would work with them, and my understanding is the way they're doing it is they're doing high-level study, then they'll start drilling down in a specific area. So whenever this is funded, if it's next year, 5 years, whenever it's funded, we'll execute the project. Robin's group, through the engineering division, they'll get a good study done so that we have a good solution. But as part of any study, then where they've done that high-level work, we'll coordinate with them where we do a detailed study, and then we also get the resiliency office to participate to look at what we're doing to kind of make sure, because this is the type of thing. San Marco, Riverside, they're not the only areas in town that are experiencing these type of challenges. We have areas all throughout town that experience sunny day flooding through high tide, as well as during rainfall events, much less, you know, major stormfall type of thing.
Hexer Drive is horrible.
The other obvious thing about all this resiliency stuff is that, you know, the legislature appropriated $1 billion this year for this. This project, if the resiliency study was already on the shelf,
right.
This is the type of study that you can actually go after the funds to build. You don't have to take it out of your capital improvement program.
Right,
well,
yeah.
And that's what I wanted to bring
that's
up.
That's a great
I could,
point.
I just talked to Phil about, you know, if we move it up, we got to find the dollars, because those dollars weren't supposed to be looked for until 5 years out or more. But there is a $10 million pot of money for the resilience. What did you call that again?
There's a project called Resiliency Infrastructure Improvements.
Uh-huh.
You got $10 million in last year's budget and then $10 million again in this year's budget.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, it would take moving it from that project to this project, but that money's already appropriated, so it would be coming up with additional dollars.
But that would dovetail in with the purposes of that.
Yeah.
Of the,
exactly.
So
exactly what it's about.
So that's a good point you made.
If you look
at Brown
County,
very good point.
And Dade County, they're getting hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Tens of almost $100 million for their studies. I mean, they're talking about moving,
yeah,
picking up bulkheads. And
out of that, they got
drainage.
Billions of dollars from the federal government.
Yeah, and a lot of it is matching. But, I mean, the state's legislature this year is $1 billion. There's
so,
no reason to believe it probably won't be next year either.
We're going to have to get buy-in from the administration. And Ann Connellese, our chief resiliency officer, to buy into the idea of earmarking 250 out of
it's small money. Potatoes compared to
Steve, in your professional judgment, is 250 enough for
well rooted.
Study that needs to be done
really
to move forward.
I believe so. For what we're looking at, I believe for a study that
better put.
Yeah.
Today's now, office, probably not 6-7 years out.
Well,
in the future.
It potentially, yes, sir. But yes, sir, I do.
Yes.
And one of the things too, I'll tell you, is through the CRO office, she has been applying for grants each year for various drainage projects that are ongoing. In fact, she got grant dollars for our LaSalle Street station. So as this, you know, project moves forward, whatever the time frame is, that'll be something that we look to do, is to leverage grants, not just through CRO grants, but through any type of grant. When we have grants that are available that match up with the projects we do, that's something that's always looked at.
Councilmember DeFore, what do you think our next move should be?
I think we should get with the administration and see if we can get them to agree to move this up to next year.
A joint meeting with you and I. And
yep, Brian Hughes.
And invite everybody.
And Steve.
Invite all the at-large council members.
Yeah.
All the other four of them.
Robin.
And
Robin,
of course,
has done
Robin, of course,
so much work, good work for us. I just want to tell you that he really has.
Okay.
Belvedere has just been. Thank you for that, Robin.
Thank you.
I tell you, people just don't know how wonderful our public works department is.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the support of this. And it sounds like this is a great. I'll put this in the category of a long-term solution, because depending upon when the study is funded, when the study gets done, and when something could actually be funded to implement things in the study. Can we shift to one other related topic?
Sure.
Okay. So FDOT has let us know, obviously, you know, that Riverside Avenue is going to be repaved.
Yeah.
I think right now it's 2024.
Yeah, that's
from,
what I'm...
the Fuller Warren Bridge down to...
San Juan.
So, Steve, going back to your comments before, that right now... I think you said there's no drainage under Riverside Avenue, which just kind of shocks me.
Just in that four-block stretch, there's drainage in place. Just in that four-block stretch, it's just at the actual intersection points.
So I'm no roadway engineer, but just as like a humble, simple person who drives, it seems to me that in 2023, roadways should have drainage.
I would agree with that. And here's one thing I'll say is, I mean, with DOT not being here, I don't want to make this sound like I'm saying anything bad about DOT.
No. But here's what happened. We go to DOT. We go to DOT. They said it's not our problem. It's a city problem. We're sitting here.
Yeah, it's like this.
And it's like, so I'm trying to figure out.
And that's why I've told you, once their water reaches our system, I mean, it becomes, we accommodate that water, and that water becomes ours. But getting the water from, you know, and I'm going to use Stockton and Copeland, or Stockton and Osceola. So if you have water that falls in the midpoint on a flat road, it may stage up before it drains off. So if our system's wide open and flowing and it's still staging up, that's DOT's issue to have a system that conveys it to that inlet before it stages up. And that can be done through profiling. So you can put a slope on the road. It can be done through inlets. It can be any number of ways. It's just that road being such an old road, I don't think it's a lack of something. It's just that road being 80, 90 years old or older, it just wasn't constructed that way.
But if they're going to spend the money to repave all that, is there any way that we could influence somehow so that while it's torn up, let's put drainage in, let's put appropriate drainage on the street?
And that's the type of thing. We will take that back to DOT, to Jim Knight. And I can tell you, when they do their resurfacing projects, they typically do a larger scale type of project. It's a milling and resurfacing. I'm sorry if I said drains. When they do a resurfacing project, they typically do more than just resurface. I mean, they go through, they'll potentially update sidewalks, curb lines,
and they are
things of that nature. So it may be more than just, even though it's called a resurfacing project, it may be more than
just
the
actual. Yeah, they are, because they're, you know, the...
take all straight parking
the
away,
lights,
put in bicycle lanes.
Margaret, and that those are going to be replaced based on community requests.
Right.
So,
well, supposedly they were contracted for the wrong...
Right,
council member.
But so where should we be working to try to get the Riverside Avenue drainage?
That's where, you know, I would talk to the DOT, to the local office, and that's who we deal with. It is, you know, our contact there is a gentleman named Jim Knight. He's always really responsive. Mr. Knight's a very good engineer. He works with us on lots and lots of projects. I don't know Mr. Knight's title, but he's somebody over there, and he'll look at that. Because one of the things is, as we talked about, as part of our study, if we want these roads, if the study were to say you need four small pump stations, then you can keep that kind of silo on those four drainage lines just like they are. But if it says it's more feasible because lack of land, whatever the case may be, that we need one, we would probably want those pipes to be as interconnected as possible. Any interconnection we would have, you would want to be done as close to the river as possible, and probably the closest point would be Riverside Avenue. So it's one of those, as we're doing a study, if you know, we see that study's leading that way and we coordinate with DOT, it may be the type thing through some sort of agreement with them where, you know, we could get drainage pipes installed that connect the four systems. But we wouldn't do that until such time as we knew for sure, because you don't want to do that now with a plan to put in a pump station 3 to 4 years for construction after design and permitting and find out that interconnection is making things worse out there than they were, you know, that sort of thing. That's where that coordination with DOT, and we'll do our part with coordinating with them. But if you're looking to talk to somebody, it'd be Mr. Knight. And he was at our meeting the last time we were out there too.
All through.
So, thank you. And also related to, same thing. Let's go to the check valve. You were there at that meeting. You heard the gentleman from FDOT say the check valves are probably making the flooding on Riverside work.
I heard him say that. Yes.
You know, we see that. We see, you know, having lived there now for 13 years, we see that in the last 2 years, the flooding on Riverside Avenue after rain. So I'm not talking about Sunday, but the flooding after rain, it just takes forever to drain.
Right.
A lot longer. So you have standing water on Riverside for a lot longer time. Eric, who's a coastal engineer, you know, we talk about it, and again, we heard from FDOT that those check valves, I appreciate what they were designed to do, but they've saved us from maybe 4 days a year of sunny day flooding and created, and the sunny day flooding was mostly just coming down Stockton. It was inconvenient, but it was not blocking Riverside Avenue. Now what we have is probably, I mean, we've had the police closing Stockton or closing Riverside during the rainy season.
Six times. And the water goes up to Midway on a car door. Like, it is not minor flooding.
Right.
So in trying to fix one problem, which we really do appreciate, the sunny day flooding, it seems that we have made another problem worse.
And what I can tell you is when you put in a check valve, it does increase your head loss through the system. But what we've seen is we've put these in now, unfortunately, way too many of them throughout the city, and we have not seen a detrimental impact in the other areas. When you look at Riverside Avenue, with it having areas that are below elevation 2, I think the low spot on it is about 1.8 or so. When you look at that, 1.8 right now is underneath our high tide levels, not 4, 5, 6 times a year, but bunches of times a year. So what ends up happening is if you don't have that tide flex in, that sunny day flooding is going to occur 15, 20 times a year or more potentially. But what ends up happening with a check valve in place, you're keeping that water from coming back. Then you get an afternoon shower, and when you get that afternoon shower, with or without the check valve, what would end up happening is with that tidal elevation being at close to or even potentially above the roadway, to get that head elevation to push the water through the system, it stages up. And so as we've seen tides appear to be higher than they previously were in years past, that's what causes the system to not be able to drain out. Because when we get a tide, we had tides last year on sunny days approaching, and we're going to use NAVD elevations, but NAVD of approaching 3, not during a storm, but just during a high tide elevation. If you didn't have a tide flex valve in there, that would potentially have water come up through the, not the Stockton line, but through the Osceola line and come out that inlet to an elevation of 3. And so that would put a roadway that's at elevation 1.8 under over a foot of water. So that's the challenge, is you have it both ways. And you know, we
hey, can Steve, go. Can I ask this question?
Yes, ma'am.
Make sure I'm understanding you. So what you're saying is if you didn't have that, you would still have standing water even without the valve with the afternoon rain because of the tide, because the tides are higher.
During high tide conditions. And I'm not saying every single high tide, but there are certain high tide conditions that, and you know, for a while there, it seemed like it was in spring and in the fall. It seemed like every October we were going out and we were having these incredibly high tides. And so you're really talking about, you know, as you get those, and then in the summer, if you get a high tide that isn't at that 3 elevation, so you don't have, but it still gets up to 1.8 or something of that nature. That's right at the roadway, so that water has to stage up before it can drain out to have that positive hydraulic gradient. And that's just some of the things. So, I mean, if we were asked to, we wouldn't remove a tide flex valve, but we could potentially go through and do something to where we basically open the valve up where it couldn't close, and we could try that and see if it made things better. I'd be willing to do something like that if that way we could see if that's making any difference in the conditions or not.
So, I'd love you to come out and look sometime. On sunny days,
yeah,
those drains are still filling up with water.
Yeah. Well, there's also a hole in the bulkhead down where your culvert is. So we see water coming up the street irrespective of the valve being there. When they put the installation in, nobody thought enough to close the hole in the bulkhead.
Is this on Stockton?
Yes, in Stockton.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose.
It does defeat the purpose. So we have a pretty good count on what days that we've had water coming up the street. But with check valves, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because they don't open under low head conditions. They're not designed for it.
Right.
So they tend to be oversold, particularly for title conditions, in my opinion. I've been around 50 years as an engineer. I've run up against them many, many, many times. But, and this may be one of those conditions where it's preferable not to have the valve activated after we get the hole in the bulkhead fixed.
Yes, sir. I'll have that looked at this week.
Okay, yeah, appreciate that.
Well, I think that'd be great if we could at least give a test to see if that may be causing
a problem. Let us look at the issue with the bulkhead. We'll get that fixed as quickly as we can. Then after that, let's leave the valves as they are for now. See if there's any impact from having the hole closed. If we see there's no impact, we'd be willing to go in and take that valve system, open it up. It'd be some sort of physical collar to keep the flap open. And then we'd see how it goes from there. That's separate from any sort of study, just to see if it makes conditions.
Experiment that.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Patricia, when you say, we'll see if we leave the valve as it is right now and see how things go, let's say in a short period of time to fix the bulkhead. So how does that happen? And do you come to Public Works come every week to look at it, once a month? I mean, how is that? Or do you want reporters from?
It'd probably be a combination of both. I mean, we have people in our engineering division and our right-of-way and maintenance division that live through that area, that drive through it. So
okay,
I receive frequent reports already. But we always welcome input from the public because you're right there. You see it on a daily basis, weekly basis at the very least. And so both ways would be completely acceptable.
Doesn't Brian Hughes live in that area?
I believe so, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Those were great questions. Anything else? Yes.
So I just want to make sure that I heard it correctly when Matt Coligi was talking about getting the funding moved around. I think, and all of us agree, we live there, we kind of watch what goes on in the neighborhood. We've been watching it for quite a few years now. And it's such an urban section of mm-hmm. Riverside. It's not even just residential. We've got St. Catherine's, we've got a hospital, we've got businesses, we've got doctor's offices, we have homes, Memorial Park just up a little ways, and the amount of disruption that occurs fairly regularly as the flooding begins and the afternoon rains. And one thing I will say, the JSO has gotten great at coming out and shutting the road down much faster than they ever did in the past, just because so many cars stall out along that section. People get out of their cars, it's lightning around them, they're trying to push through, water up to their waist. It's really significant. And I've been grateful no one has literally, died, in those situations. So in terms of, I think when we all saw that the study was 5 years out and that just, started, asking some questions and to see where we could get some help, are we hearing that, Public Works supports trying to move this around? I know Randy supports it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Matt supports it, but is that what we heard? Is that something that you support, at least trying to get this study moved to, say, in this next budget cycle, as opposed to 5 years out? It's hard for me, quite honestly, to think about having to watch this for 5 more years without even a study being done, that can get some answers. And whether it's 4 pumping stations, this has happened in San Marco over, delays time, as Matt was saying, what are they up to, 6 pumping stations with the new one going in?
Three.
So I'm just, how many is it?
3.
Oh, it's 3. Okay. So I just, so is it something you all support?
We support solving drainage problems all over the city, including this one.
Mm-hmm.
When the funding is available, I promise you, Robin will have this as one of his top priorities to get the study done, present findings, plan the future process to get it from study to design to
mm-hmm.
permitted to constructed.
Okay.
So And that's Robin, he's working on projects all throughout the city, but he's working on several in the Riverside area, and he would do this one just as well as he's done his other ones.
So time is, you have, like I said, that's another question, I guess, because there's only so much time, but there would be time available if this study gets moved back to next year as opposed to 5 years out. I know that adds to your workload.
Plus one more project.
Yeah, but I just, okay. So it's a combination of the money and time, obviously.
Well, the time aspect is
not the word.
That's,
we'll take care. Once we have the funding, we're taking care.
He has staff, and
you're going to contract a study out anyways, right?
We're going to hire
a
consultant.
Right.
We're going to put out an RFP, and we're going to hire a consultant.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yes,
thanks.
Has that scope been defined yet? I know it's, you know, in the CIP it says Riverside, Osceola, Stockton, but will it include that 288-acre kind of watershed or subset of that, or do you have an idea at this point?
It will make sure that whatever needs to be included to take care of that area is included. And if there's contributing water from outside that area, we absolutely have to consider it.
You remember, and that's what they did, remember, in Belvedere? Remember, because it went all the way to Woodmere? Not Woodmere, Willow Branch. And so they took it. How much? That's huge.
Very large.
They got $1 million for that project. I don't know if you remember that. That was a big deal. And so they're listening. I think that this one got stuck because, you know, John left, and there was a little disconnect when that happened. And we're going to fix it. That's what we're going to do.
We appreciate it, Randy. You've been keeping on it with us and Brooks for always getting these things going. No,
well,
that's true.
No, we appreciate your patience on this. This is not some, you know, we don't want this for you all. And I do think the state road causes a little bit of a problem. I'm just saying it out loud because we do get a lot of this. And, I mean, I'm equally as frustrated with the whole thing because and then we had a changeover of state reps too, by the way.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So now we've got the
because Wyman promised me he would put it in the budget from the state level.
He did.
But then he's no longer representing the area.
Right.
So it's been a lot.
Yeah, Angie did send representatives. We've met with some of Angie's staff on this.
But see, the problem you're going to have with Angie is that it's a Republican legislature.
Yes.
So we're going to have to figure out a way to get it in front of the Republicans, you know, get the Republicans. I can. Maybe we should do it from the Senate. Maybe we could do it that way. Let me noodle that.
Okay. And if you need any labor,
okay. Let me work on that. No, I promise you, I will do something before I leave.
Thank you.
Did we have another question over here? Was it Shannon?
Yeah. Can I just follow up on the action items? Because I know last time we met on this subject, I just want to make sure that we kind of circle back. But one of the things that RAP has already done, and I think can connect with all of you on, is we submitted comment to the State Road 211 resurfacing plan requesting that drainage specifically in this section was incorporated. And so as we go back and connect with Jim Knight and with the folks that were a part of that planning project, sort of just try to circle back and make sure that
was incorporated. Was that incorporated? We did meet with him.
They did not incorporate
either.
Drainage.
I don't think
it,
he
but
did.
It's just something like, you know, grading and elevations.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's just great feedback for us when we sit back down with them again and ensure that
and we need to do that quickly because I was surprised how they, when was it? Like, it's soon. Like, we only have a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, and we submitted comments, so it's really just would be following up from the comment to see what revisions were incorporated into the plan. The other thing is, last time we met, John did say that he was going to help with this question of whether or not the Tideflex valve was causing a problem or not.
Yeah.
And so regardless of the scope of the study, I just wanted to find out, is it possible to do what you guys had suggested, which is, you know, open it or sort of have this this time that we can find out if it is in fact causing more of a problem, or would that be in the scope of
the work? So what he's going to do is, I'll speak for you if that's okay.
That's fine.
He's going to fix the hole in the bulkhead. All right,
that.
To see if that may be causing the problem,
yeah,
or some of the problem. And if if once the hole's fixed, if we continue to see the same issue with it not draining properly, then he was willing to open up the valve with some sort of, what'd you call it, a neck?
Something. We would put in some sort of collar.
Collar,
on the
right. That was the collar. That was the one I was thinking of.
And then over a period of time, see if that has any impact.
Right.
Right.
But, this is just for Stockton Street?
It's just Stockton.
But probably what I'm hearing is probably more likely needed on Osceola, because the drain on Riverside, near where the issue actually goes to Osceola, not Stockton.
Is that true?
We'll
see. Okay, I just want to make sure we know what the problem is, because we don't live there.
The third thing, sorry, was in the scope of work that we've all been trying to, talking about moving it from the 5+ years up, I just want to echo how important that is. The resources of JSO out there every single major storm, as well as the stalled cars, as well as the impact, I think, to the local historic buildings that are sitting in that standing water, all of those are reasons to hope that we can figure out what the solution is. I don't know what it is, whether it's one large pump station or smaller pump stations, or if there's the ability to redirect water that is draining from upland down that way into smaller areas where we can take some of that water off of, again, and sort of harvest it more upland. But all of those, I'd love to sort of understand what the solution is and then advocate for it so that we can make it happen within 5 years versus waiting for the study in 5 years. So just happy to help however we can. And I know that we can, and, trying to move it up sooner. But please, keep us in the loop on that so we can do what we need to do.
That will, you'll have an answer before I leave on that. Okay. It'll either be in there or not. I think I feel good about it. I think if we can get the administration behind
Brad
it.
Brad has a really good team of engineers.
I see that.
I know.
Man, that's impressive.
A well-resourced, so we're going to write a good support letter to get this plan moved up.
Thank you.
Any questions from those fabulous engineers on RAP?
Yeah, I think we've covered it. I think from my standpoint, that my biggest question was what that scope will ultimately be, which it sounds like you're saying it will encompass any upstream areas that's contributing to it. So
absolutely. No way to cut those areas out.
I know that the issue is, all comes down to the condos, but we want to see it address the larger problem.
It's not just the condos. I mean,
that's where we're seeing a lot of it.
There's a health, safety, and welfare here just associated with access to St. Catharines during these events.
Yeah.
I've done a little exploration, and apparently the fire engines can get through, but ambulances probably not. Their freeboard is 11 inches. And so what I understood from the ambulance drivers and from city fire department is they're comfortable if the footer's at the top of the curb, but beyond that, they're not going to go through it. And so perhaps even in your resiliency funds, it's not just private sector, there's also this health, safety, and welfare having to do with emergency access in and out of St. Catharines.
And there's about 4 ambulances a day.
I was going to say, an FYI, we don't want to laugh about it, we hope.
Because that's our future.
There are always ambulances coming in.
Well.
And we know in part because we hear it. We hear
right.
it and see. We definitely hear it.
Well, and the point that y'all, you made about going through the waist-deep water, I'm surprised someone hasn't been injured.
It's
terrifying.
I think we have photos of it.
Yes.
One other question for Steve. So, Steve, we are happy to be eyes on the ground, or feet on the ground, eyes,
whatever.
We're happy to be local observers.
Eyes and ears.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Ice the back of my head, whatever.
It all works.
Yeah. It will be loose.
We've been sending stuff to Brooks, and she's been wonderful at passing along, but is there some more direct route? Because I'm going to tell you.
Robin Smith at COJ.net.
Okay. because there's going to be times when it is a sunny day, and despite having check valves, there is water coming back up out of those drains, and I'm going to send a photo.
And when we, if we do decide to open one up, we will want that feedback. Hey, it got way better, or it's still, you know.
Yeah, okay, right.
We'll go out there and check, but we don't live there.
Yeah,
right.
I'm talking about, see, what I see happening is it hasn't fixed the sunny day flood. Water is still coming back up out of those grates on sunny days.
On Stockton.
On Stockton.
And that's
Stockton.
That's where we have the hole in the bulkhead and some of that stuff. So
no, I'm not talking about water comes down Stockton. But I'm talking about water coming up out of the drainage grades
right.
on Stockton and Riverside.
Okay.
Water coming up out of the drainage grades on Stockton and Osceola, despite having the check valves in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm so frustrated. It's not helping the sunny day flooding,
yeah.
which is what it's designed to fix. And it seems to be making the rain drainage worse. So that's why I'm just like, you know, these things aren't really getting us what...
One of the things we'll do, and we'll do quickly too, is we'll go in and make sure all of the check valves on a dry day, we'll go in and make sure they're all sealed properly. Unfortunately, with those things, you can have them open up, and debris comes through it, and one branch, something, keeps a gap that much open,
yeah.
and it still lets everything flow through. And that, so we'll check to make sure they're free of debris.
Robin Smith,
all one word. Robin Smith.
We will send out a follow-up with you with the action items and the contacts for the state and for local drainage.
Great.
Thanks. So,
if you would, CC Riverside Avenue Preservation on this with photos. We'll update our format.
Yeah, and we'll also, if you wouldn't mind CCing State Representative
mm-hmm.
Nixon.
Okay.
I will say it will be hard to get money, not think about it, until we have the study, until we know exactly how to fix it, I think,
mm-hmm.
from the state level. So that's why that study is so important. So we're on it. All right, any other questions? All right, thank you all for coming, and thank you especially.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did. You walk out.